Being an effective manager, qualification number four, mastering the awkward. 2 Samuel 12, the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food and drank from his cup and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You're the man. You're the man." Now, it's interesting to me that David didn't get it. David had committed adultery, and then to cover up his adultery, he had the husband murdered. Okay, so he's just done these things. And now Nathan tells a story that is exactly what he did, and he doesn't get it. He doesn't get that it's about him. Nathan has to say it to him. "You are the one." I thought about this story recently because a week ago, one of the people in my church, he's having a trouble with his landlord, and the landlord is supposedly a Christian, and they're having this problem, and they're struggling, and they've been fighting for 6 months, and they haven't talked, and I keep telling him, "You got to go talk to him." So anyway, he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter, and then he showed me the letter, and the letter was just scathing. It was just, and I said, "Okay, if you just want to vent, and you want to be kicked out of the house and be done with it, and you just want to vent, then this is a really good letter. But if you actually want something, if you want to settle something, or you want him to do something for you, this letter is not going to work at all. I mean, you have to be, you know, I think, well, he won't listen." I said, "Well, I don't know. He's a Christian. He goes to church, you know, appeal to scripture." I did that, he said. One time I left a note, and I just put down this passage that I just read to you. He said, "Well, I left him that passage, and it didn't come to anything." And I said, "Well, okay. You left him a passage that said that he's like King David, who just committed adultery and murder. So, I mean, you basically left a passage that said, you know, I judge you as a rotten, horrible person." But he didn't listen. I said, "Well, why would he listen? I mean, this passage is a perfect example of why people, or how people don't listen. This passage was directed to David. David has just done these horrible things. It's totally about him. And when he read it, or when he heard it from Nathan the prophet, he didn't even know that it applied to him. So what makes you think if you give it to your landlord, he's going to think it's about him? I mean, if David didn't get it, your landlord isn't going to get it either." So, you know, he has to rewrite the letter. It's a difficult thing. But it must have been difficult for Nathan to do this too. I have to go to the king. I have to point out it's his fault. I'm telling this story. At some point, David should get it. He should fall down his knees and beg God for forgiveness. Instead, he gets angry at the person. It's like, I have to explain to David that this is about you. It's an awkward thing. It's an awkward thing to challenge people that are in a higher position to you. There's a lot of awkward moments. If you're a leader or you want to be a leader, there's a lot of awkward moments. And as a leader, you have to master those awkward moments. Most people are going to run away from them. They're going to delay them. And ultimately, they're just not going to do them. Awkward moment. Number one, confrontation. You have a coworker, you're not getting along, he's not following through, there's some issue that you need to sit down and talk. You asked for something, he didn't deliver. You did all kinds of favors for him, and then the one time you need him, he can't be bothered, and he's busy with something else. Whatever it might be, and as leaders in the church or even in any organization, we tend to let these things go. We let these things go. Why? Because it's going to be awkward. How am I going to confront? When am I going to confront? Do I just call him on the phone? Is that the right thing to do? Do I call him on the phone and set up a meeting? But if I do that, he'll ask, what's the meeting about? Then I have to say, well, let's just talk about it. And then I'll worry about it. He'll worry about it. I mean, all these issues keep us from doing it. And then we get madder and madder and madder, and we get more and more frustrated. And so finally, we do the confrontation, but we didn't decide to do it today. It decided to do it for us today. We just blow up. We erupt. And then, of course, the person feels like attacked, and then they attack back, and the whole thing doesn't work. Because we didn't own the awkward moment. When there's a problem, we own it. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm not going to delay. Well, I think next week will be better because I'm busy today. No, do it right now. Master the awkward moment. Apologizing. I hate apologizing. I grew up in a home where my father was always right. And so naturally, I wanted to be right too. So, we have this desire to be right, and to apologize means you're wrong. I didn't see it modeled. I didn't know how to do it. And so I didn't see it. I don't do it very well myself. So it's something that I have to master. When I know that I've hurt some, I know I've offended someone, I come late to a meeting, and, I'm the senior pastor, so I come late to a meeting. I'm late because of important things that I've got to do. I don't feel like saying I'm sorry, really, because I feel like, I am so busy, it's just lucky that I got here at all. So it's just hard for me to walk into the room and say to the people that I'm leading, I'm really sorry. I know your time is valuable, and it's as valuable as my time. And, something happened. I'll try not to let it happen again. I have to humble myself, but it's not just about humility. I have to own that awkward moment. While I'm saying it, it's just hard for me to do, and I got to own it. It's awkward, and I just have to do it. Own the awkward moment. Asking for money. I hate asking for money. Now, some people, they love asking for money. They don't mind it when people say no, and they get a big thrill when people say yes. But for me, I just we have a guy, we're doing a renovation, and we needed a sprayer. And he was looking into one, and he had some money. And he was looking into one, and he found one for $700 or something, and he said, I think I found the one. Now, so how is the church going to pay for this? And I said, well, what I should have said is, well, can't you pay for it? See, that silence is the awkward moment. See, and I can't stand that silent moment where I'm saying, well, why don't you pay for it? Because I know he's thinking, well, what do you mean, why should I pay for it? Why should I pay for it? Or I don't know what he's thinking, but I'm wondering all these things that he's thinking. So I hate that awkward moment. So what I said to him is, tell you what, if you pay half, I'll pay half. And he right away said, okay. And see, I didn't want to own that awkward moment. And it cost me $350 because I didn't want to own that awkward moment. I could have at least tried. And if he didn't do it, I could have said, well, why don't we split it? But I didn't want to own the awkward moment, and it cost me. It's dealing with that space where you ask, and then you don't know what's going to happen. I have to own that. I have to go, this is my job. I need to be good at this, and I can't be good at this without doing it. Number four, asking for help. I don't like asking for help. I grew up in a home where you do it yourself. You know, if something has to be fixed, I'm going to take it apart. And if it doesn't work, I'll just throw it away. And I'll buy a new one. You know, asking for help. You know, my dad didn't do it, so I have a hard time doing it. It's awkward. I have to call someone. I have to interrupt their life. They're busy with something. You know, this Saturday, could you help me? They had other plans on Saturday. Now I'm telling them to put all their plans on hold, and now I want you to help me, even for the church. But I have to own that awkward moment. They can always say no. And I need help. People need help. So I need to own that awkward moment. Number five, asking for better service. You know, I've been out to eat with people, and then you order a steak, and then it comes, and it's like overdone. And the person goes, you know, I ordered it rare, and this is as done as can be. Could you please do it again? I would just probably eat it. You know, I just, well, you know, overdone is not that bad. And, you know, I just, because I don't want to go through that awkward moment where you know, it's not the waitress's fault, it's the cook's fault or somebody's fault. And now they're sitting there feeling embarrassed. And I hate to make someone feel embarrassed. But I've been with people who have no problem with that. They, you know, it isn't what they want. They demand it. In fact, I was had a good friend of mine when we would go out. She would demand that it would be free. Not only will you do it again, but don't you think you should take something off the bill? And I'm sitting there cringing, you know. Ooh, that seems like a bold thing. We need to be bold. If you're a leader, you need to be bold. And if nothing else, you should just go out for a meal and find something you don't like and say that you want this redone. Just for the practice of it. Just to get used to that little sense of, ooh, I'm asking people, I'm pushing people out of their comfort zones. I don't know what's going to happen. You need to master these awkward moments. Closing the deal. A lot of people can sell. Talking to a person, trying to get them to church. Hey, you should come to my church sometime. I play pickleball. And a bunch of different people, and a lot of them don't go to church, so I'll invite them. Hey, why don't you come to my church sometime? Yeah, that seems like a good idea. And they never do. Hey, why don't you buy this product of mine? I think you need it. Yeah, well, you know, we'll look at it. We'll think about it. Well, they don't do it. Closing the deal is getting them to do it right now. Hey, how about coming to church this Sunday? Well, I have to see. Okay, I'll give you a call tonight to see if you can make it. And to tell you what, we'll have lunch afterwards. I'll talk to my wife. I'll call her now and make sure, you know, we have food. Are you allergic to anything? I mean, you just close the deal. Make it happen. Now, that can be awkward. I just want you to think about it. It's easy just to say, you know, ask people something, but then sort of leave it to them. Because I'm not really pressuring you. I don't want to pressure you. Generally, people don't do anything if you don't pressure them. So you're never going to close the deal. You're never going to make the sale. You're never going to get that person to come to church unless you close the deal. And closing the deal can be awkward. They may say no. I don't want to be put in the position where I force someone to say no. Letting someone go. That is awkward. Okay, you have someone, they're on your staff, you've worked with them, you've already done the awkward moment of saying, you know, this isn't really working well, you're not living up to our expectations, so try again. I have that right now with an employee at our church. Not really working out. I don't see how it's going to work out. But I have to meet and lay out some parameters, see if they can actually improve, which I don't think they're going to do. So it's just awkward. And this week I have all this taping to do. I could have had this meeting this Saturday with them, but I'm busy. You know, I don't want to deal with that. Letting someone go is hard, but the longer you wait, the worse it all gets. It's bad for the church, it's bad for the organization, it's bad for you personally, and it's bad for the person. They need to get on and move on and try to figure out something else with their life. So master letting someone go. Number eight, moving someone down in the batting order. You know, that's sort of a metaphor if you know baseball or softball. You know, batting number one or two or three or four is sort of the prestigious place to bat. But batting 6, 7, 8, or 9, you know, the coach is really saying you're not that great of a hitter. And so sometimes as a leader, you have to take someone, they have this responsibility, but they're really not, they're not doing it. And so you take that away from them and give it to someone else, and they're like, you know, it's like a demotion. And they feel it, and you feel it, and you know it's going to happen, but you don't do it. You don't do it because this is going to be awkward. I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to sit down with you. You're going to argue with me. You're going to resent me for a while. I don't want someone not liking me, so we're just going to keep going with mediocrity. Okay, own that awkward moment. You know it has to be done. Do it. Number 9, demanding better work. People are not living up to your expectations. Demand better work. In the long run, people will appreciate you. I've had coaches in sports who were laissez-faire, didn't seem to care. It was not that fun working for them. And I've had demanding coaches. Ultimately, you enjoy that more. But it's hard. So own that. Own those awkward moments.